There is a stimulus plan that works. And it didn't come from Bush or Obama. In politics, which I'm not part of. I gave up on that when I was a kid. I just find it interesting. By the way, the next president's going to be Huckabee. Y'all don't have to believe it. You don't have to vote for him. I'm just telling you. Check me out, 2012. There's nothing that looks like he will be at this point. Don't even say he's running, but he'll be the next president. If it's not true, send me $1 million. Amen. Amen. I'll play this back to you in 2012. All right. I tuned his piano over and over at his church. I sat and admired him as he put things together that couldn't be done. Watched him become governor of a state when he was in a state where only Democrats run the state. And he became governor anyway. I watched him all his life, or all my life, or all his life. I'm just a little bit older than him. Haven't been around and haven't talked to him in years. Not too long ago, my mother and my sister and them got on a plane in New York City. Huckabee got on the plane. They said, "Hey, Huckabee, you know Rutledge family?" He said, "You talking about Ren Rutledge?" And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, yeah." And they said he talked about me all the way to Arkansas from New York City and the wonderful times we had. But I didn't say he's going to be president just because of that. And I'm making people mad right now, because the reason I said it was to make you mad. I want you to take a look at yourself. You're all caught up in the affairs of the world. Now, I could have said who you're for. But see, if I say Palin, I'm going to lose another bunch of friends. Yeah, see there? If I say Obama, I'm going to lose another bunch of friends. No, not really. We got people here in church still trying to hang on to him. And if I say Romney, I'm going to lose some more friends. And immediately when I say any names, people think about what they've done wrong, what they don't like, or what they'll drag up on them. It's just the way of the world. And I'm not running for office. Like I told you the other night, when I smoked, I inhaled. All right, the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Amen. It is amazing, though, that we crossed paths with so many presidents. I've seen so many things. I mean, I tell people, you know, about Bill Clinton and I being close friends, playing music together, standing under the grease rack at a service station, watching my car get greased while he's waiting on a crowd to get together, and staying hid out under my car. Amen. Before he made a speech. People don't want to believe it. I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm not voting for him anyhow for anything. But he's my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. I got everybody totally confused yet? That's my purpose for saying all this stuff. Because I want to get your mind to thinking a little bit tonight about something other than what you always think about. And for every individual, that's something different. So I'm not really pinpointing anybody. We all have our favorite thoughts, our favorite ideas. We also have our things that we totally are disgusted about, things that really turn us off. And we have our ups and downs. And many times, something shakes us a little bit and we come to our senses and we realize, hey, none of that stuff is really all that important. Amen. All right, the book of Acts, the first chapter, starting at the fourth verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." Those are the words of Jesus to those that were watching him go away. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. While they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That is the great stimulus plan. Get the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Amen. That's the greatest one. It's one that won't fail. And nobody's going to take the place of the one who originated it. He's not going to get voted out. He's not part of any particular political ideal group. But his word that is spoken and written is settled, and it shall come to pass. I could be wrong about Huckabee, but I'm not wrong about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, when George Bush got on national TV and radio, some of you witnessed it here. It almost depressed me. It ruined my day. I did not want them to try to stimulate the economy. I talked about it. I grieved about it. Because all I could see was, it's going to cause everything to go downhill from this point forward. I'm not against George Bush. But the answer is not giving away something to make things work. Ever. In any situation. When people get everything free to stimulate, I mean, some things might work for a while, you know. I mean, you give me $1 billion, I guarantee you, till I get it all spent, I'll probably do some things I wouldn't ordinarily do. But give me 3 years and I'll be asking somebody if they could loan me a buck or two. Because I didn't work for it. I didn't go bankrupt about 5 times before I figured out how to get on my feet to get that. I didn't have enough failures to appreciate the fact that what is coming to me is something that I have worked for and earned. Let me tell you how to save money at Christmas time. Leave your credit cards at home. It's something about the human mind wants to think, oh, you know, I've got a credit card, I just pay for it that way. But there's something different when you reach in your pocket and you bring out those green pieces of paper. Amen. And what you would have used your credit card for, now you're thinking about it. Do I want to give this up? And tell you the truth, when you use that credit card, you're actually spending more for the product because there are other charges involved. And in many cases, because of the fact that the credit card has been maybe a little behind, but they give you this grace period and they've got all these little extra charges for this and for that and a few things that slipped up on you, you know, when you weren't looking, you didn't realize that was going to be there. But if you just leave the credit cards at home this year and go Christmas shopping, if you're going to go Christmas shopping, and I can't even talk about this without offending some people because they don't believe in anything to do with Christmas. I don't go that far. I don't celebrate Christmas as the day to worship God or the day to celebrate his birth, but I recognize Christmas as the day when a lot of people are singing songs about Jesus and people are giving gifts as they should always give gifts. Amen. We don't need to stop giving gifts on December 26th. And we don't need to stop celebrating the birth of Jesus in July. So it's not a hang-up with me, and I'm not offended if somebody has a Christmas tree and gives out a lot of presents, has a Christmas party and invites me to it, and a lady kisses me under a mistletoe. That doesn't offend me at all. Amen. But so when I say I don't really celebrate Christmas, what I'm saying is, to me, it's just another day to worship God. But I celebrate the fact that so many people finally acknowledge there is a God. Because you see, there have been many times when you can hear people talk about, we need to separate church from state. We need, you know, it wasn't intended to be that way. I mean, we still got in God we trust on our money. There's a reason why it's there. It goes back a long ways, the history behind it. There's a reason why there's so many things about God, our Creator, and how we've been equipped by that power that brought us forth. There's so many things in history about the intentions of the founders of our country, our nation, to acknowledge God and promote God. It was never their intention for church and God to be left out of the schools or out of politics or anything else. It was their intention for the government to let us run free with this and be everywhere proclaiming that Jesus is real. That's the purpose of separation of church and state, to keep the government off the back of the church. But it's gotten all mixed up through the years, and like a lot of other things. So now we've got this mindset that didn't just start in our lifetime or my lifetime, but for many years, there has been that mindset that rises and falls, rises and falls, rises and falls. It says, well, we're in a mess, so we're going to have to figure out a way to give a lot of things to a lot of people. Or take from the rich and give to the poor. Or, you know, we've got to stimulate these things, get it to going. It's just a temporary fix, like drinking is a temporary fix. It's not the real answer. I was looking today across the street. There's a sign on a store right across the street here. It says, wines and spirits. And there are people coming and going in that place to get wines and spirits. But just on this side of the street, there is new wine and the spirit. See, we're just across the street from each other. But the difference in that stimulus plan and this stimulus plan, that one has a downward ending and this one keeps you moving upward. That one is a losing proposition. This one is a win-win situation any way you look at it. Because we're not trying to get you drunk so that you make a fool out of yourself. But we're trying to get you intoxicated with the Spirit, which is referred to in the Word of God as the new wine, which causes you to make something out of yourself that God approves of. And you don't have a hangover after you get drunk on this stuff. Amen. You wake up the next day and you don't have to apologize for all the things you did and all the things you said when you were being utterly, totally stupid. Oh, I love this new wine. I love this great spirit that we are aware of on this side of the street. But I'm not going to get a sign and go up and down the street protesting what they got across the street. In fact, I might even go in there and take my spirit to their spirits. I'm not going to partake of their spirits. But whoever's in there at the time I may walk in needs the spirit that I have to offer. This spirit has with it happiness and joy and peace. I was just walking in front of our door today, and there was a man walking by, and I just said a nice thing to him, just a nice word or two. And when I did, he said, what time does your church start? I said, 7:30. He said, I'll be there. People talk sometimes, it talks cheap. If he's here, I don't see him. Maybe his spirits are here. I don't see him. He said, I'll be there. I believe he meant it. I really believe he meant it. I don't hold that against the man, because the spirits that are driving this man to make promises that he can't keep and to do things that he regrets come from the place across the street. Amen. But once you get a hold of this spirit that's in this place, which is referred to as the Holy Ghost, you receive power to rise above the ordinary, to get past the evil that wants to keep you down and hurt you, to get above the tide, as I talked about the other night, the wind of adversity that comes against you. You've got the power to go against the wind with the Holy Ghost. You don't have that without Jesus, the Spirit of Christ in you. What you have is the mind that tries to figure out how to fix things and just gets things in a mess. Just gets things in a mess. I mean, the world's having big problems right now. China is not our friend. And North Korea is not our friend. And if you're not keeping up with the news, you don't realize it, but the world's sitting on a powder keg right now, just about ready to go off. And you're in a country that doesn't know what to do, where the president acts like he doesn't want to even pay attention to it, and the whole world's about to blow up. I'm not in politics. Hey. I don't know the answers. Bomb them, hurt them, is that it? No, I don't know. Amen. Start something you can't stop? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you all the news. You don't have enough something in you that makes you want to find out what's going on around you. Then when it all collapses on top of you, you can just go to heaven. Glory! That's better than what the people from the spirits over there say to me. Where they tell me to go is not where I want to go. I got something better with this stimulus plan that came from the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, than the stimulus plan that comes from across the street. that makes it look like it's going to be all right when it's not going to be all right. Or the money that's handed to us. I've always been against collecting unemployment checks. Boy, I got quite thin. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. But, I'm not against you. It's a set thing that when you're unemployed, you get unemployment. But what that does, it feeds this mindset that says, well, I don't have to work. I've got a little bit of something coming in. I was against totally bailing out the banks. They needed to fall. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not trying to be political. I just know that without failure, you can't really enjoy success. And without things going wrong, what you try to fix sometimes, when you've only got temporary power and opposition in every way you turn, and you're having to negotiate everything, and you got this opinion, that opinion, no matter what you try, it has to be altered and it has to be modified because no president can totally get his way. None of them. And so what might be a good idea in the beginning for any government, coming from a king or a dictator or a president or a group of congressmen or whatever, might be good as it is presented. But by the time it is worked on a while with all the various opinions, it becomes like in the laboratories when scientists are working, you see these movies where it was going to be a good thing. all of a sudden you got this monster going, and everybody in town is running from this thing, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It was meant to be something to help humanity, and now everybody's running from it. Maybe you've never seen anything like that. I used to stay awake at night thinking about it. But see, I'm not caught up in this monetary thing like many people are, and I don't criticize those that are. If you can make a lot of money and keep it, I'm happy for you. But I'm going to tell you, I found, for me, a better way. Now, I complain sometimes, but not to the point of giving up or giving in or getting depressed. I just complain sometimes when I can't satisfy the greedy people who want everything done the way they want it done, and there's nothing you can say to change their mind. And the viciousness of people, when they get a position where they can cut you off or cut your lights off or cut your phone off, and when only a few hours would make a difference, they have no mercy. I'm telling you, the people at DMV eat razor blades for breakfast. Yeah, where? Yeah, the light comes. They it's not the single edge; it's a double edged blade. They put it right in their teeth before they come to work and chew it up. And then when you get there, they're ready to slash you up. I was standing in the post office yesterday. Standing in line, minding my own business, going to mail something to Nicholas Christmas down in Tennessee. That's his real name. His mother's name is Candy Christmas. I was talking to her today. I've been talking to Nicholas and Candy for a while. It's the truth. She's very popular. You look up Candy Christmas on YouTube. She's one of the hymn pills. She has been the number one gospel singer many times. She's sung songs and albums, recognized by many magazines through the years as one of the top gospel singers of this century, of this past century. Candy Hemphill Christmas. And her son Nicholas is about Justin's age. Nicholas contacted me some time ago and he said, Pastor Rutledge, this is Nicholas Christmas. And I thought like you did. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. This is Nicholas Christmas. And he said, I understand because my mother, Candy, said that you might have some things concerning, the past about my grandpa. Because I never got to meet my grandpa. And I'm collecting things from the past. Well, I didn't know who Nicholas Christmas was, and I didn't know who Candy Christmas was. I remember praying when Candy Hemphill received the Holy Ghost. I was laying hands on her when she started speaking in tongues. And I remember performing the marriage ceremony of her brother, Joy Hemphill, and his and his dear wife. And I remember teaching Trent Hemphill, her brother, to play some things on the piano. And I remember having Joel Hemphill, who writes many beautiful songs, and Labriska, attending the church that I pastored over and over. But I didn't know that he was one of the Hemphills when he called. When he said Nicholas Christmas, I thought, well, here's another jokester calling me. But then when he said, you have some things that I would love to get my hands on, according to my mother, Candy. And he said, you know my mother, don't you? And I said, Candy Christmas? Because I hadn't been around the gospel music industry very much in the past few years. Last time I was listening to her, she was a little girl. They had just got through making a great hit with a song, Consider the Lilies. She wrote that song. And it became a big hit across the world. And many groups started singing it. But that's the last I've been around her. Now she's a mama with a 16-year-old kid. And she married a man whose last name is Christmas. So, in trying to gather all these things up, which around here, when you try to find something, you have to go through boxes that are stacked up on boxes that are stacked on boxes, and you have to go through waste papers and cans and CDs and shirts and pencils and crayons and baby food and toys and old clothes that people have given us to give away that we forgot about. And finally you find what you're looking for. And man, it makes me happy when I discover. So I gathered all these things up over a period of time, and it started getting to be quite a while. But he wanted it all to be in his hand by Thanksgiving time. And this started 6 months ago, and I just mailed it yesterday. So Thanksgiving is what, in 2 days? So I had to pay a little extra because waiting so long to express it, but it was guaranteed to get there by tomorrow. So when Candy contacted me today, she was just so jubilant. Oh, Pastor Rutley, you know, she was just so happy. And I was happy that I was able to say, it actually got mailed. You got 3 CDs coming with your daddy and your mom and your grandpa and Nicholas's great-grandpa with testimonies and songs, and they were just jubilant. And I was happy with that package in my arm when I went to the post office yesterday. And I was just standing in line. And all of a sudden, because I wasn't in line that well, and there were 2 lines formed, one of the lines went down to nothing, and there was a lady standing over here who said, nobody's standing in that line? I said, I started to go for it, and so some other people did, so we all jumped back. And so she went in front. I said, go ahead. And she went in front of me. I got behind her. And some other people got in behind me. Just standing there in line, and all of a sudden this man in the other line started talking. Some people think they could just cut in front of other people. Just minding my own business with stuff for Nicholas Christmas under my arm. And he went on. And he said, some people don't have any manners at all. That's right, he's talking about himself. And he said, just cutting in front of people and taking over when, you know, I wonder who's he talking to? And I turned around, his eyes were bloodshot, and he was staring straight at me. Straight at me. I'm just standing there with my jolly St. Nicholas trying to have a Merry Christmas. Staring straight at me, bloodshot eyes and a look on his face like you say one word and I'll kill you. You don't know what you're going to get into when you just leave the building and go downtown. Just standing in line at the post office. I had thoughts hit my mind. Like, who do you think you are, the police of the postal system? But I didn't say it. I didn't know what he might have in his pocket. Maybe he'd shoot me if I said anything. And he went on and on and said, yeah, you don't have any courtesy. You don't have any courtesy at all. And he had the whole attention of everybody there just yelling at me. I didn't do nothing. I didn't cut in line. I was just standing kind of out in the open. And I gave a lady, I was courteous to a lady, said, you can go if you want to. He didn't like that. He said, don't you see this sign right here? Wait for the next available teller. I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I saw the sign. I stood in line there, two lines there for 26 years. I didn't want to say it to him. Oh, he went on and on and on. You know, it was like I was being stabbed. It's called, in my opinion, verbal abuse. He said words that I don't repeat. And he waited for an answer from me. And I stood there in silence, and everybody else was in silence. He said, well, what are you going to say about it? And I softly said, sir, I don't want to have a conversation with you. And turned around. That was the end of that. I'm glad to be alive today. But this is the spirit of the world. Anywhere you go, especially during the holiday seasons. A holiday season is something that derives from a word that has something to do with a holy day, with a holy time, with a celebration of that which is holy. But the season itself and the day itself goes all the way back to some things that aren't so holy. But the truth of the matter, Jesus Christ was born. And we do celebrate the fact that, oh, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Amen. And I'm glad about that. But that old thing that says, you're bad. When you're having a good day, thinking good thoughts. Just a matter of just a short time, which is a very rare thing for me, to get out of the building for 15 minutes and run into that thing. It's the spirit of the world. That man needs a stimulus plan. Because whatever he's on ain't working for him. And whatever the world promised him ain't going to get the job done. And whatever he's been feasting on is not the right kind of food. Amen. He needs the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. But I couldn't tell him. He wouldn't have received it right then. He probably went straight from there to the place where he can get spirits. I don't know. I think so. I was just gently driving my car one day with my little radar detector on the dashboard, going, oh, maybe 20 miles over the speed limit, you know, just minding my own business. I saw a police car looking at me, and I thought, well, he won't mind. I won't slow down. He probably knows me since I'm on radio and everything. So I didn't slow down. I knew I was speeding. I was looking at my radar detector, and I knew once you see the cop, he's already seen you anyway, so why slow down? You're already in trouble if he's going to stop you. Because if you can see him, he can see you. Because you're on his radar. He already got me, so why slow down? I just kept going. Just minding my own business. This was years ago. And all of a sudden, here comes that siren behind me. And those lights flashing. And I'm sitting there. And here he comes. Let me see your driver's license and registration. Did I do something wrong, officer? He grabbed that license and registration. He said, Mr. Rutledge, I notice you have a radar detector on your dashboard. I said, yes, sir. Did you have it turned on? I said, yes, sir. Did you know you were speeding? Yes, sir. Did you see me? Yes, sir. He said, I'm going to give you a ticket for being stupid. I thought, ticket for being stupid? There's not a law against being stupid. How will that hold up in court? He said, I'm going to give you a ticket for being stupid. He said, I wasn't going to give you a ticket at all. But he said, now I am. And he pulled that little pad out of his pocket and he started writing, but he gave me a speeding ticket. And I said, I thought you were going to give me a ticket for being stupid. He said, I just did. Man, I had to pay money. When if I'd have just slowed down, he was going to be a merciful cop. He was going to be gentle with me. He was just going to warn me, don't do that anymore. And I was going to say, yes, sir, and everything would have been fine. But because I thought, well, he's already got me. I might as well keep going. Messed up anyhow. It's worked for me at other times. So I pulled up to a stop sign at 3 o'clock in the morning, a red light. There was a police officer sitting there facing me on the other side of the street. And the light didn't change for a moment, so I just ran it. There wasn't any traffic around, just me and him. What's wrong with that? Just went through it, and he watched me go through it. But the place where I was going was just a half a block, and I wanted to go to bed. And I was trying to get to the dormitory of Apostolic Bible College where I was a teacher and had to get up early in the morning. So as I pulled into the driveway, here comes those flashing lights right behind me. And he says, did you know you just ran a red light? I said, yes, sir. Now, I'm in the ministry at this time. This is since I've been preaching and everything. Did you know you just ran that red light? I said, yes, sir. Did you see me sitting there? I said, yes, sir. That's why I ran it. That's why you ran it. I said, I knew that you knew there's no traffic. I said, there's no traffic out here. 3 o'clock in the morning, there's not a single car out here except me and you. And I said, and I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to go to sleep right there. And I didn't see any sense of just sitting there looking at you. So I decided to drive on through it. No, he was a merciful police officer. I didn't get a ticket. But I left him scratching his head. He stood there. He said, it don't make no sense at all, but I'm going to let you go. Oh, I can think of a lot of things I don't even want to tell you. But anyway, it's been a good ride up till now, I tell you. There's a lot of good things happening in life. But everybody needs something better than Social Security. I mean, I'm 65. I got my letter in the mail. I paid money into it. I had people say, you need to grab it. That's your money. I just don't like to play around with the government. I don't know what they're going to try to pull next. So as long as I can figure out a way just to stay broke and keep the bills paid, I'm going to keep doing it. Boy, it gets quiet when I talk like this. I'm just not into this stuff. I mean, maybe when I'm 80 and I've put some more into it, I'll get a little more, or maybe dead, won't need it. I just don't like to get stuff from the government. For years, I've been promised, if you will just take this grant, we will build you this, and we will support. Look, we could have the biggest soup kitchen in America right here in Norwich, if I would take a grant that I could get. But instead, we opened up a little soup kitchen here for a while, and the city didn't want us to have it. In fact, one city council member contacted me, and he said, we would prefer not to feed them, let them all starve to death, or move out of town, because we don't know what to do with the bums. What an attitude that was. He said, all you're doing is helping them stay around, and you're drawing others like flies into our city. He needs the Holy Ghost. He needs the Holy Ghost. Same old spirit as the guy at the post office. Same old spirit as the guy driving the car and seeing the cop and going through anyway. But anyway, I got past that and got repented and everything. Because I got a hold of a stimulus plan to help me to be an overcomer, even though I had to overcome being stupid a few times. That's the thing about the Holy Ghost. You don't necessarily live a perfect life when you get the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost is a perfect spirit. So when you make mistakes, you got something that'll help you get through it. And when you have problems, you can get those problems solved. And if they're not being solved, it will open up doors for other things that you would not have seen and you would not have been a part of that will be a blessing to your life. Because everything that goes wrong in your life when you're being led of the Holy Ghost is only something that points you to another way that keeps things going better. What I'm saying is, when doors close in the face of a Holy Ghost-led person, God has provided an open door, and whatever's on the other side of that door is better than what you would have had if you could have gone through the door that was closed in your face. I know that from experience. Also, I can find many things in the Word of God to back it up. When unfortunate things happened in my family, and I found myself after the worst possible scene that a human being could look upon, and the worst heartbreak that you can imagine that hit me, that just broke my heart and shattered my dreams and my life, as I observed a situation in my family happening and witnessed something that I can never get off my mind for a very long period of time. It always keeps coming back. But I found through the years that that worst horrible moment that I went through years ago has been a blessing to me. At that time, every door I could think of was closed. I had all these dreams and hopes of things that I wanted to do in the ministry. We had a lot of places to go and things were happening and all great, wonderful blessings were unfolding. And all of a sudden I saw myself as a man who'd come to the end of the trail. This is the end of it. Standing there at the end of my journey, at the end of my ministry, at the end of my hopes, at the end of my dreams, I cried. I cried. And all I could see was, all doors are closed. But after the crying was over, the weeping only endured for a short while, I started feeling some joy coming that comes in the morning after weeping has endured for a night. Not joy because of the situation, not joy because of the scene that unfolded before my eyes, not joy because everything was going to be different than I had planned, but joy knowing that I have the Holy Ghost. And that's why I wrote the song that night, All I Have Is Yours, because that didn't come from me. I wrote it as it was being inspired through the Holy Spirit that God gave me. He knew I was going through a heartbreak. He knew that I was going through a time of needing something to pep me up, needing something to lift me up, something to encourage me. And when I sat at that kitchen table after a horrible, horrible couple of hours of what we had gone through in the aftermath of the discovery that just shattered my dreams, with peace and joy coming back into my life because of what God has given through His Spirit to sustain us, the door that God has provided opened up and a song came forth. And it came from God. All I have is yours, my child. My hands, my feet, my heart. All I have is yours, my child, and I'm yours, and I'll never depart. That came from God. And I don't care what you lose in life, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the greatest stimulus plan there is, because what you got with the Holy Ghost is something that can't lose. Something that won't go away. Something you can rebuild on. Something you can go forward with. Something you can become encouraged with. Something you can look to guide your footsteps when it seems like you have no other way to get to where you want to go. I'm telling you, I would not know you people had I not gone through that experience. I wouldn't be here. The circumstances of the closed doors opened a greater door that took me as I yielded to the Spirit of God into places I never expected to go. Anything that might have been closed to me, and I don't think anything really did. It was just in my thoughts. But anything that I thought might be closed, because life wasn't going to be the same. I've been traveling with my family. We'd been going places. We'd been in demand. We'd been in a lot of situations. And we had all these things going for us. And I had great plans. I was going to get a motor home and turn it into a recording studio. And I had enough invitations to keep generating more invitations to keep going to churches all over America and recording singing groups and choirs for the rest of my life. I had enough to keep me going the rest of my life when that happened. Amen. I ain't crying the blues. I'm telling you what, I've never been happier in my life than I am right now. Because the one that said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, has proved it over and over and over again. And there have been a lot of other doors that closed in my face, but I've never found a time, if I would look for it, that I couldn't find the open door that took me into something even greater than I expected to go into. Praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about something that's not going to get voted out. I'm talking about something that's better than government Obamacare. Health care. Look, I know millions of people are without insurance and they need insurance. But I tell you what, they've opened up a can of worms. I don't know how they'll ever resolve this thing. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to fix it. I don't think any president can fix it. I mean, this thing, you know, have them come out at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, we've got to get this thing through so everybody can find out what's in it. What? I'm used to being able to know what's in something before. I don't get it. I thought, what? I heard those words. I said, as Nancy, dear sister Nancy said, we've got to pass this 2,000-something page thing so we can all know what's in it. What? Hey, look, you can know what's in it when you get the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hey, you need something to get you well? Get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Nobody's going to vote it out. Nobody's going to change it. Nobody's going to discover a year later that it's not what you really wanted. Nobody's going to be fussing, debating over it, fighting over it. Amen. It is the greatest stimulus plan, and it is the greatest health care you can get. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, if anybody wants to give me a handout, I'll take all you can give me. I'll take it. If anybody wants to fix me in the hospital and pay for all my hospital bills, I'll take it. I'll take it. If anybody wants to give me $1 million right now, I'll take it. I'll take 10 million, 100 million, a billion, 10 billion. Might as well talk that big because it's all the same. No matter what I say, I get the same. But the Holy Ghost is worth anything you can imagine. There is no trillion amount that you could name. No billions you could amount to or name that you could bring up any amount that can compare to what you have when you have the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in the uttermost parts of the world. What's he talking about? Hey, look. Anywhere you go in the world and you find Holy Ghost people, you'll find that things are going better for those people than for anybody else around them. And the only things that go better for the people around them is because they're associated with those folks. I noticed just before the 9/11 incident, when the Twin Towers thing happened in New York City, I noticed before that there was a lot of talk on the news about no God. There's no God. And a lot of talk from commentators complaining about prayer in public places. Prayer in courtrooms or the Ten Commandments in the courtroom. Somebody got caught praying in a school class. What a terrible thing that was. That was all in the news right before the 9/11 thing happened. But right after those thousands of folks were killed by those terrorists that flew those planes into those towers, right after that, watching the same channels and watching the same people that had been complaining about prayer, I heard one of them look up who was the worst loudmouth of the bunch, and she said, folks, I suppose we could, well, we need to pray. Yeah. There's a place right down the street here where I could go sing right now, and probably Brother Danny could sing. And I got a call from last night from somebody who said they've invited me to come and sing, but there's one requirement. Don't sing anything that has to do with Christian or God or gospel. We want none of that. I won't go. She said, but I don't have any place to sing. Well, I'm not condemning her. I said, that's not against you. I'm just saying that's me. I won't go. Anybody wants to leave God out of it, they're leaving me out of it. I don't want to be a partaker of something that says we don't want God. Because I know this God is a God of vengeance. He has been known to destroy places like that. I don't want to be there when His hand comes down on it. Hey, you want to hear old lovesick songs and honky-tonk songs and songs about what won't work in this world and won't consider God in any of that? Just let me get to the church. We don't want that music. We want nothing but stuff about God. Let me get to the house of God where we can sing about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. Praise God. And we live in a country where whether they want to believe it or not, our Constitution still provides. Government, get off the back of the church, because we're still free to worship God anywhere and everywhere in this country of ours. Hallelujah! The greatest stimulus plan, after they tried all the other plans and tried all the spirits across the street and tried all the advice they can get from any doctor, hospital, or any wacko, is the Holy Ghost. And yeah, I admit, I've been stupid a few times. I got cop friends that'll tell you that's the truth. But I got the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I was, you know, a lot of things you folks don't know. You just hear bits and pieces, and I'm going to close in a minute. Thank you, Kate Cat, for sending me these handkerchiefs. I appreciate that. That's nice. She sent me a whole package of handkerchiefs this week. I guess she got tired of seeing me slobber in Indiana on TV. But thank you. you hear bits and pieces, and sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it fits, sometimes it doesn't. But when I say things, sometimes it comes to my mind. And I just remember those looks on those faces. When I was a high school band director, teaching school, driving 70 miles every morning to go teach this little school where I had a 90-piece band. And I was trying to get out of town, so I was having to go pretty fast to get out of town. I'd already received 4 tickets that week for speeding. I got 4 of them the same day, to tell you the truth. I'm bad influence. It was a terrible time in my life. This is before I was in the ministry, but I was a school teacher. And I didn't really need another ticket. I had got a ticket on the way to Watson, Arkansas. Cop pulled me over, gave me a ticket. And then on the way back, I ran a stop sign, and a cop pulled me over, cussed me out, and gave me a ticket. I said, you better watch it, man. God's been known to strike people dead talking like that. He took me down to the jailhouse for saying that. Took me down and made me stand around those jailbirds for a while. And he died the next week. I don't know if I caused it or not, but he died the next week. It was in the paper. That man that cussed me out died the next week. But I really wasn't in any shape to kill him, you know, with words. I didn't mean to do that. But I had that ticket still in my pocket. Then on the way from getting that ticket from that red light I ran, I was on my way back to Pine Bluff, and some policemen came out of the bushes, walked out of the trees. There wasn't any cars or nothing. And flagged me down. They flagged me down. I was only going 90. Speed limit was 55. That's not what much over 55, is it? Only going 90. Needed to get home. I tell you all the reasons why I needed to hurry, but they didn't buy any of them. And they came out of the woods and flagged me down. I said, what'd I do? Surrounded my car. What'd I do? I said, how did you know I was doing what I did? And one of them said, look up. And I looked up. And there was a big old plane up on top of me with the word police on the wing. Flying up. So I had that ticket in my pocket. And I don't remember where I got the other one, but anyway, I didn't want another ticket. So I was driving through town this morning with four tickets already in my pocket. I hadn't even paid yet. And this was years ago. I don't live like that anymore. I'm just telling you, God can save anybody. Look, if he can save a wretch like me, surely you can get saved. Like they said, I've been stupid. And one of the most stupid things I ever did, I guess, was that morning. Four tickets in my pocket already. And so I'm speeding through town trying to get back to Watson. And there's a speed trap they got there. They got all these police cars lined up. I didn't see it until I was almost right up on it. And they were all coming out in the middle of the highway waving their hands. And I waved back at them and turned off. I tried to pretend that we were just being friendly. What's wrong with that? They were my buddies. But just in case they might have something else up their sleeve, I turned again and I went up into an alley and parked between two mobile homes and cut the motor off and just sat there for a long time. Just trying to get a little rest. He's not going to ever let him ride with me. I sat there about 30 minutes. Just sit there. I figure after 30 minutes, they've forgotten it. But now, I'm long gone. They don't know where I went. So I started backing out of the alley real slow. And when I got to the street, there were two policemen sitting on motorcycles going. God's good. What I needed right then was a good stimulus plan. That's right. So they said, follow us. And here I took off my car behind these two motorcycles. And they took me to the place where I waved at those friendly men. Told me to just sit there for a few minutes. They had all these other cars lined up. Yeah. Then they got together like football players in a huddle, and I see them talking. I could hear my name every once in a while. Every once in a while, I could hear my name. I don't think they were talking good about me. They were talking about me, though, because I could hear the Rutledge coming out of there and that little huddle they had. And after a while, one of them came over walking up to me, and he said, and he called me Wren. He said, Wren, southern accent more than mine. Wren, you know better than to drive like that. I said, yes, sir. Now, Wren, don't do it anymore. Yes, sir. I'm not going to give you a ticket, Wren. You're not going to... He said, shh, we're giving all those others tickets. Keep your mouth shut. Right then, I was glad I had the Holy Ghost, even if I was being stupid. Because God saw me through something. I was going to lose my license if I got that ticket. They had a point system down there. And insurance rate kept going up. Just don't say anything, Wren. But don't do it anymore, Wren. Yes, sir. I said, why are you letting me go? He said, because I like your radio program. He said, I love your music. Good old country gospel music. He said, I live on it. He said, just be good from now on. Okay, Wren? Yes, sir. Thank God that you can find mercy in this world sometimes. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Let's all stand and clap our hands to the Lord. That's the only stimulus plan you need to make it through the economy situation, the world situation. North Korea bombed South Korea last night. Some people got killed. The earth doesn't know what to do about it. People are walking the floor, unable to come up with answers. The stimulus plan we need for the whole wide world is the Holy Ghost. That's how you can give people the love that they need. They sing about it. What the world needs now is love. The only way they're going to get it is to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Can you believe?